I love the sunrise. There's something just incredible about getting up early and seeing those first moments of light. It is good and it's refreshing for the soul. You know, one of the challenges of living in the upper Midwest in North America is that during the winter, we don't see a lot of the sun. There are some days, I'm sure like you, where I'll drive into work in the dark, I come home in the dark, I'll go most of the day without seeing really any of the sun. But the benefit is in the summer, because the sun gets up super early and it is up late into the evening and we get all of those hours of glorious sunshine. It's just so good to see the sun. In fact, one of the things I love to do in the summer is to get up really early and catch as many sunrises as possible. And whenever I do, it reminds me of God's glory. Psalm 8 opens and closes with the same phrase. David, writing the psalm, says, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And that's really what creation reminds us of God's majesty. It's good for us to experience God's creation because it reminds us of God's glory. And so this summer, we're doing an entire series focused on creation and specifically on the Psalms that mention creation. So welcome to our series, All That Is Made. And this is a series where we are going to be exploring what it means to engage with God in his world. And so there will be some spiritual practices that you and I get to put into place to help us deepen our relationship and time that we spend with God. And so today we're going to begin in Psalm 8. Now, before we begin, you may be noticing that we're not currently in Minnesota filming this. And the reason for that is Minnesota is wonderful, but the Psalms that we're going to be looking at throughout this series, they speak about a geography that just didn't quite match and fit Minnesota. And in real time, over the summer, while you're watching these messages, we are in a tent in the parking lot at our Eden Prairie campus at Wooddale Church. And that is going to be a really fun experience. We're updating worship centers and we're having a great time in the tent, a very unique experience for those who are joining us live. But that just wouldn't have been very attractive for those of you who are joining us online. And so because we're giving everybody in person a unique experience, we wanted you to have a unique experience. And so that's why we've brought you here to the Great Smoky Mountains so that we can experience all that is made. And we have a journey of spending time in the Psalms and in God's creation. So let's begin with our first Psalm, Psalm chapter 8. So if you have a Bible, why don't you open it up and we'll read Psalm 8 together. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, and all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The first thing David invites us to do is to consider God's creation. That's what he asks us to do in verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. When was the last time you took some time to notice and to appreciate God's creation? Have you slipped outside recently and looked up at the night sky and considered the stars? Or reflected on the moon or seen a sunrise? When we take time to consider God's creation, we just have these moments where we can be in awe of who he is. When we reflect on all that God makes, and all that he's made, honestly, can make us feel a little small. I mean, even being here in the midst of this glorious woods and these just really impressive mountainscapes, I can feel pretty small and insignificant. And that's common for us when we spend time in creation. There's actually something healthy about that. But David doesn't linger there. He says, in the midst of seeing all of God's creation and reflecting on it, it actually caused David to start focusing on then another part of God's creation, humanity. Because that's where he goes next in verse 4. And how he speaks about humanity is in really significant terms. He says this, what is mankind that you're mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? And then he goes on in verses 5 through 8 to talk about how we were made a little lower than the angels, but crowned with glory and honor, and we were made to rule over God's creation. I mean, it's this sense of yes, we might feel small and insignificant in the midst of all of God's creation, but God's got a significant plan for us, and God made us with a purpose. There's something really fascinating that happens in the text here that I want to make sure I just point out to you. When you're reading through in your Bible, you may notice that there's a small little note. It's in verses 4 and 5 and 6. I have it in the NIV that lets me know that while I'm reading this and you see a lot of plural language where it talks about them and their, that you could also replace that with the singular, him or his, which is kind of confusing. So what's this psalm saying? Is this psalm referring to a group of people, to all of humanity, or is this psalm referring to a specific person, a son of man? Well, the answer to that is both. See, when we read about how we were created and we are the son of man, in the original Hebrew, it's son of Adam. It reminds us of our Genesis, the story of creation. See, the reason that David has such a high view of humanity and he's so humbled that God even recognizes humanity is because when God made humanity, he gave us a really significant calling. And that brings us back to the early parts of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. We truly see how humanity is the capstone of creation because God goes through creating all the different elements of this world. And then he gets to the end, and we get into the end of Genesis chapter 1, and we're made. And when we're made, we were given a great calling. Have you thought about your calling recently? About why God has made you? Here's what Scripture says about all of us, about humanity. It says this in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may, and then here it is, echoing Psalm 8, echoing this, that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God created us to rule his world his way. I mean, that's a pretty outstanding thing when you think about creation. When you take time to just walk out in creation or to reflect, to just sit by a window and look at the sky and see the clouds and just consider everything that God has made, to think, I'm instructed by God to be in charge of this place. I'm instructed to help make this world better, that I'm being invited by God in the world that he made to help make it better. I mean, that's a really high and significant calling. And so the first thing that Psalm 8 does for us when we reflect on God's truth and in his word and we spend time in his world is it brings to us this humble appreciation that God created all of this and invites us to be part of it. But that also causes us to be reflect on how we're doing with that. So we're here in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Gatlinburg is a town that's nestled right in the midst of the Smoky Mountains. And how Gatlinburg got its name, it's a fascinating story. There was a gentleman in the 1850s named Radford Gatlin. And Gatlin took a tract of land that he claimed, but then Gatlin wanted more land. And so rather than be content with what he had been given, Radford then went out to start to seize other pieces of property. And it was land that was already claimed by somebody else. Does this story sound familiar to you? And so tensions were high. Gatlin was a difficult person. He was very disagreeable. People just had a challenge of being around him. Radford tried to start many things. One of the things he actually tried to start was a church. Should remind us that not everybody involved in church is always doing things God's way. And the church wasn't successful. Radford was just too difficult to be around. He also started a general store. And in those days, post offices were located in general stores. And so the name of that post office went by the name of the general store that was in Gatlin's name. And so it became known as Gatlinburg. And as the town grew around this general store, people just started referring to the community as Gatlinburg, even though none of them could stand Gatlin. In fact, Radford eventually left town, or was forced out, depending on who you talk to, because he was just so difficult to be around. Gatlin really wanted to make a name for himself. And he did. The town's still named after him. But because his behavior was so disagreeable, Radford was separated from the town that now bears his name. That's just the story of humanity. I mean, you and I have been so intent on trying to make a name for ourselves and doing things our way that often we've become separated from God's goodness, from our relationship with Him. We're separated from God's power because we're more interested in making a name for ourselves than glorifying God's name. And so, see, Psalm 8, then, as we reflect on our role in creation, causes a sense of humble acknowledgement. We haven't done things God's way, and we really need God's help. And that's where the good news of Psalm 8 comes in. Because I mentioned that you could read this in the plural, that this is about how God sees humanity, but you could also read this in the singular. And the singular points to one who was to come as the Son of Man. And that's Jesus. See, Jesus came born as a human, but also fully God. And Jesus did what you and I failed to do. He properly lived out our human vocation. He did things God's way. And because He did things God's way, Jesus is the one who can finally bring restoration to this earth. In fact, when the author of the New Testament book of Hebrews is describing and introducing us to how Jesus has brought a sense of reconciliation between us and God and how Jesus has brought restoration to humanity, he quotes from Psalm 8. Now, here's what the author of Hebrews says, chapter 2, starting in verse 6. But there is a place where someone has testified. And then the quote is from Psalm 8. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at the present, we do not see everything subject to them. And I just want to pause right there and just say, we just all agree with the author of Hebrews. We look around and see the world and see our role in the world and the fact that we're not really ruling God's world, God's way very well. That It doesn't seem like we're living out that vocation. And the author of Hebrews is acknowledging that. But then he says this. He says, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. See, what the author of Hebrews is helping us to understand is that when Jesus came, he took the punishment that we brought to God's creation. Because of our sin, it separated us from God, but it also brought a curse on us and a curse on all of God's creation. But because Jesus came and took the punishment for that sin, he starts to reverse the curse and brings us back into our proper vocational calling. So what that leads us to is the third thing that you and I can do in response to Psalm 8, and that is a humble acceptance of Jesus, recognizing that we can't do things our own way. We need to do it God's way. And we do that by trusting in Jesus. And that when we do, we have the opportunity to also be filled with God's Spirit, that God changes us and allows us to be able to live out that vocational calling. You know, so we actually see a little bit of that in Jesus. This vocational calling, him doing things God's way. There's a really powerful scene that Matthew records in his gospel. It's in Matthew chapter 21. Jesus is coming back into the town, or into the town of Jerusalem. He's about ready to lead to the cross, and he's coming in to the praise and the adoration of the people and performing all these signs and miracles and wonders. It's just a really powerful scene. But some of the religious leaders are a little unhappy with Jesus. In fact, he goes to the temple, and one of the things that Jesus sees at the temple breaks his heart. What was happening at the temple is that people would come in and they would want to worship God, and they would want to give a gift to him. But the problem was they all had Roman currency, and Roman currency had Caesar's image on it. And the religious leaders, they felt like that was inappropriate to give God something that would have a pagan image. And so what they did is they required people to change out their currency. So they had to change out the Roman currency for currency that would be more appropriate to give to God at the temple. But whenever there's currency being exchanged, somebody's profiting. And that was true in Jesus' day. And so he walks into the temple and he sees all these money exchangers, and all of them are profiting significantly on all these people that just want to come in and honor God and worship him. And it frustrates Jesus because he sees this is not running God's world God's way. And so he makes it right. He's frustrated and he kicks out the money changers, actually starts turning over the tables, makes a little bit of a scene. But what he's doing is he's bringing a sense of restoration to God's world. Well, this further upsets the religious leaders, and they hear all of the crowd praising Jesus, and they're so upset about it that they go to Jesus and they say, hey, this is all blasphemy. You need to do something. You need to say something. And his response comes back to Psalm 8. He actually quotes verse 2 of this psalm in giving his defense. Here's what Jesus says. He quotes the psalm to them, and this again comes in Matthew chapter 21. He says, have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. In other words, Jesus is saying that it's from the praise of these seemingly insignificant people that God is restoring humanity. See, that's the invitation that Jesus gives to us. That we spend time in creation, we may feel small, we may feel insignificant. But that's exactly the type of people that God uses. Those who seem weak, those who seem small, those who, in comparison to all that God's made, don't feel like they can do much. But when they give praise to God and they choose to do things God's way, they make a powerful impact. And that's the invitation that Jesus gives to us. And so our response to Psalm 8 then is humble action. It's to recognize that when we see that we need to join God in His work, to bring glory to His name, to make His name great, not our name great, then God invites us to restore humanity, to make things right in the world. So what that might look like for you is you might just be a person who's a retiree living in a community and feeling like you're just not adding a whole lot of value these days. But that's not true. You're somebody whom God has chosen, and you get the privilege of speaking truth and life into other people. Or maybe you just see yourself as a mid-level manager. You feel like you just get paid to push paperwork back and forth throughout your organization. But that's not true. You're somebody who has a little bit of authority, and you can use that authority to promote good, to help shine a light on what's right, to correct wrongs, to reward people for doing the right thing, and to correct people who are doing the wrong thing. Or maybe you just see yourself as a student. You feel like your life is just going. You don't have any influence or significance right now. But that's not true. You're somebody who can tell other people about God. And from your lips, you can cause other people to learn about God and bring praise to Him. See, when you and I choose to partner with God in the running of His world, we glorify His name. And that allows us to join with David and say, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So join me this week. Spend a little bit of time either in creation or reflecting on creation. If you're able, go take a walk through the woods. Go stroll around a lake. Or sit by your window and watch the sunrise or the sunset or look at the stars. Reflect on all that God has made. And then remember that you're part of what He made. And He's placed us in His creation to bring glory to His name. Father, we are grateful for your word. Lord, we're looking forward to this series, to spend time in your world, to learn your ways. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak in and through us, that Father, that you would give us encouragement about who we are and clarity on how we can bring more glory to your name. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.